God has a will for your life, we know that. If God has a will for your life, He wants you to know it. That's obvious. And if He wants you to know it, then be sure of this, He didn't hide it. It's not tucked obscurely under some convoluted interpretation of Scripture. It's not left to some transcendental experience of intuition. It's not dependent upon some private, personal, angelic delivery. It's not even dependent upon some serendipitous coincidence. If God has a will, and He does, if He wants you to know it, and He does, and He holds you responsible for it, and He does, then you can be sure He didn't hide it. He would place it in the most obvious place, and the most obvious place would be His Word. His Word. You can know the will of God for your life from Scripture. And it's unmistakable. Absolutely unmistakable. I'm going to give you six things to think about, okay? Number one, God's will is that you be saved. God's will is that you be saved, delivered from sin and death and judgment and hell. That's what the word saved means. That you be rescued from eternal damnation, eternal punishment. God's will is that you be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 3, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God's will is that you be saved. Listen to 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God is willing that you be saved. God wills that you repent. It is God's will that you be saved from eternal destruction. This is the will of God. So much is it the will of God that He planned the plan of redemption. So much is it the will of God that He sent His Son to become the sacrifice for our sins to make that salvation possible. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost because the salvation of the lost is the will of the Father. In fact, in a number of incidents in the New Testament, this becomes clear as an expression of the will of God. In Mark chapter 3, Jesus is teaching in a particular place. His mother and brothers arrive. They stand outside the place where He's teaching. They call to Him. The multitude is around Him. And so the message comes filtering finally to Him through the crowd. Verse 32, Mark 3, behold, your mother, your brothers are outside looking for you. And answering them, He said, who are my mother and my brothers? In a sense, He's saying, I don't recognize earthly relationships. I don't recognize family. And looking about on those who were sitting there, the crowd, He said, behold, my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God, he's my brother and sister and mother. He is saying there are no more family relationships with me that have any spiritual value. The only relationship with me that matters is that you do the will of God. And what was the will of God? God Himself said it. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to Him. God's will is that you embrace Christ. God's will is that you put your trust in Christ. That's the will of God. That's the will of the Father. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus essentially said the same thing. Many are going to say, Lord, Lord, we did this and we did that and in Your name. And He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Because not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. And what is the will of the Father? That you embrace the Son. That you put your trust and saving faith in the Lord Jesus. That's the will of the Father. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, the world is passing away in its lusts. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. The one who does the will of God has eternal life. What will of God? The will of God to believe in the Son. The will of God to put your trust in His Son. God's will is that you be saved. In John chapter 6 and verse 38, there's just a great statement along this line running down through verse 40. I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. I came to do my Father's will. Then verse 40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him may have eternal life. God the Father wants you to behold the Son and believe in Him. That's His will. And then have eternal life. So no person who has rejected Christ, no person who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, can ever know the will of God. It's pointless to seek the will of God in a marriage or a relationship or a job or a career or a life decision of any kind. If you're not saved, you don't even have the right to ask God to disclose His will. No one who has not come to Christ in true repentance, no one who has not come to Christ in true saving faith, has any claim on knowing God's will about anything else. Listen to 1 Corinthians 2:9. Just as it is written, borrowed again from Isaiah, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man. There are things that people can't see. There are things they can't hear. There are things they can't know. All that God has prepared for those who love Him. What God has for those who love Him, the people who don't love Him can't know. God's will starts then with being saved, which means committing your life in repentant faith to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's God's will. It's where it starts. If you're asking other questions and you haven't done that, you're not in a position to receive anything from God whatsoever.
Now that you've heard from John, let us know what you think. Go to gty.org/audioblog.